Necron one is, I've never seen it.
Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most Tucker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. We are the Battle of Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined tonight by Tanya Gates.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Adam Camilleri.
Hello.
And Red Powell.
I have returned.
Everybody's back.
Yay.
On this episode, I want to talk about the new Adeptus Sororitas Codex. We have it in our hands. This was provided to us by Games Workshop to talk about, which is very nice of them, and we really appreciate it. I look forward to it. This is an army, I mean, is still kind of new to some people, and here we are with another Codex.
Why do you think that is?
Tons of new models. I mean, that's...
That's it, though?
New figures, as you know, we've had them coming out, I don't want to say in drops or whatever, but in chunks over the last couple of years. And even with this new Codex, there are tons of new models coming along with it. And I guess they needed to have a home for it. And a Codex makes sense to me.
Do you guys remember the hype when they announced it with the whole, the Sisters line was getting redone?
Yes.
I think they gave us a huge lead time, though. Like, GW called their shot and like, 2 years from now, there will be a new Sisters thing. And everyone lost their minds. And absolutely worth it, because they have been a banger of an absolute crazy faction since, and really exciting.
I mean, we were at LVO, right? When they announced...
Adepticon.
Adepticon, right.
I'm pretty sure, it was announced at Adepticon. They said they were going to do this ramp up, and they were going to show us how kind of insight into how figures and models and stuff get designed and how long it takes. And apparently, hey, it takes 2 years. I guess they're about maybe 3.5 to 4 to do everything you're planning with an army.
It was interesting how you pointed out that this is still a very unknown faction for people, even though despite it being essentially a very old faction. When did the first Sisters line come out?
It was a standalone supplement that talked about the Age of Apostasy, and I want to say it was towards the end of second edition, maybe early third. And then, you know, metal models for the longest time. I mean, the Codex or the line was supported, and then here we are with an impressive, glorious line of blasting models. And they do. These look fabulous.
And it's really nice to see that the new ones live up to the old ones. I think the old ones is a Juan Diaz line, if I remember correctly. I might be mistaken. Someone in the comments will correct me. But he does some good works if it was him. And that line held up sculpt-wise. I mean, it was a very expensive pewter or fine cast line for a majority of its life. But the new ones are just as good as the old ones. They just brought up all the homages, all the callbacks, and the awesome, exciting stuff. Man, it's crazy cool. It's crazy cool to see it. And in addition, they've just added another whole like third to this army range, with this new codex.
Let's talk about some of the new stuff. There's a couple of relics I want to talk about, but let's just lead in with the Paragon Warsuits.
What are people calling them online?
Nundums.
That's hilarious.
I like this this type of battle suit look. Maybe it's my like anime fan self showing or whatever. Although I don't get that look from it, but I definitely like the mecha warsuit type look to things. It's kind of ridiculous for reasons that we pointed out. Is that your?
Yeah, I won't revisit that. We'll keep going. It's great.
Isn't the ridiculousness like perfectly Warhammer 40K though?
100%. Like there's. It's like the same thing, we've heard some writers say that nothing's too big for 40K. Like, you strap some guns on it, strap a multi-melta, or a bolter or a chainsword on it, then, it's 40K through and through.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still don't have dinosaurs. Like, what have I got to do?
We're getting close. So the Paragon Warsuits, 3 to a squad, movement 8 base, weapon skill BS 3+, Strength 5, Toughness 5, 4 wounds apiece. The Paragons, like the normal, if you can call them normal, have 3 attacks. The Paragon Superior has 4 attacks, 2+, save. And then, of course, they've got their Axe of Faith and Shield of Faith. So they're, invulnerable save from that. And then they got decent weapon options. You can replace, each of them can replace their 2 Storm Bolters with a Paragon Grenade Launcher. And the Paragon Grenade Launcher is 24-inch Assault 2, Strength 6, Neg 1 AP, D3. Any number of models can each have their heavy bolter replaced with one of the following. One Ministorum Heavy Flamer or one Multimelta. Heavy Flamer is D6, 12-inch range, strength 6, neg 1, damage 1, automatically hits. Mm-hmm. And then we know what a Multimelta does.
Yeah, nice. And these will run you, I think you said off screen, runs you about 80 points a pop.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, look, not bad. I like that now they have it seems like they've got a fleshed out mech, walker line now. As akin of there's Death Dreads, Killer Cans, and then Mecha Dreads and stuff like that, or the Morkanaut Gorkanauts for Orcs. It's like now you've got the Pennant Engines, you've got the Mortifiers, you've got the Nundums, and then you've got the Super Nundum, the High Lord of Terror. I can't remember her name though.
Yeah, we'll talk about her in just a minute. It's Morinvol.
So cool. So cool.
Yeah, so this is, they also have this Paragon Warsuit special ability. Each time an attack is allocated to a model in this unit, subtract 1 from the damage characteristic of that attack. I would immediately suspect this to be on FAQ watch, that probably a minimum of 1, but that's not what it says right now.
Yeah, it for sure it will be, right? It'll just be like, yeah, minimum of 1, don't be silly, please. Yeah. Please. Begging.
Although I do love the idea of somebody being immune to bolters. And last guns.
Well,
No, I was going to say there's the theory that las guns are how you bring down anything. Well, not these guys right now, not these suits right now.
That's right.
I think we can assume that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, all of that aside, really, this minus 1 damage deal, just like we saw with Disgustingly Resilient, and I'm totally discarding the silliness of it does 0 damage whatsoever. But the minus 1 to damage is a big deal. It really is, especially as heavy bolters have moved to 2. It really sinks in the value, in my opinion, to the heavy bolter concept, things that go 2 damage. I know it makes it sound like it's not as big of a deal, but when you're considering all comers list, this is a great, I still think that the heavy bolters, I know people are like, well, that seems counterintuitive because why would you need heavy bolters given that now you're going to have these people spamming this material out there? Well, because there's Space Marines and there's everybody else out there that still has multiple wound items that these things can get through. And so it's, I think that it's cool. It's awesome because I think that the vision that GW has in mind, because look at the ad mech that I know you guys have, it's been out there for a second.
I'll talk about them later on. I played the new ad mech with a list I actually liked, felt confident about, and it lived up to the hype, but we can talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, no, but just saying that this is, I think that sisters definitely are going to have a place on the board in the meta, that these suits help keep them there. It's definitely part of the, we're talking about the development and evolution of their design. I think that this model set has a lot to say about it.
Disgustingly Resilient is amazing.
Yeah.
I want to point out why I think the minus 1 damage on these guys is a little bit more prevalent or maybe more important than it is on larger models, on more chunky models, or on smaller, less chunky models. So I've long said, and I think this was true for most of 8th edition, that 4 wounds was so much better than 3 wounds. Four wounds was exponentially better than 3 because of the prevalence of 3 damage weapons in 8th edition, because 8th edition was a plasma and Thunderhammer prevalent edition. Those were the 2 profiles people were trying to spam. Now, in this edition, we have all these super multi-damage ones and also a bigger prevalence of 2 and 3 damage again. But as soon as you drop those 2 damage down to 1 and drop the 3s down to 2, and then you can add in, I don't know if I'm going to signal out anything, there's a feel no pain or other ways to heal and do things with these Nundums or these mechanized units. But if there is, having 4 wounds is the way you want to be. 4 wounds and minus 1 damage really makes a lot of profiles very wonky into you.
Yeah, awkward exchanges of weapons that you're counting on doing a certain thing and then don't. And I'm glad you brought up the damage reduction and stuff like that on models like this. Although this is a T5 with a real stout armor save and an invulnerable save. But there's a relic, and this is one of the ones I'm going to talk about, called the Mantle of Aphelia. It's a canonist model only. Each time an attack is allocated to the bearer, the damage characteristic of that attack is changed to 1.
So you put it on a canoness.
Yep. Anytime you have a toughness 3 model, granted she has 5 wounds, but I think sometimes you get a little bit more hesitant of rushing them into danger or thinking that they can hold down a spot or they catch a random melt a gun to the face or something like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
This relic, you could functionally take Tank a Knight.
Yeah, so can you read that again for us?
Each time an attack is allocated to the bearer, the damage characteristic of that attack is changed to 1.
That's just forever. That's just how she exists.
Yes.
In perpetuity.
That's exactly right.
All right, we now have the fridge. We have the sister fridge. Stand over, Lysander. Your day is done.
you were talking about, you know, ways to, I guess, mitigate damage coming in, and that's, I mean, do you use your one relic slot on that? I mean, there's 2 pages of relics. Yeah, that choice is yours.
Wow.
But if you're in a situation to where, like, I like building tanky commanders, and that's not an option for every codex. And I think there are ways to make the canonists, I mean, of course, you know, abilities, lore type abilities, and you know, the Acts of Faith, and Shield of Faith, and all that other kind of stuff, and a 4+ invulnerable save built in. But you're still a toughness 3 model, and so it doesn't take much to peel off those wounds. This adds a certain amount of staying power that I think is undeniable.
Absolutely right. Big fan. I like they can have that durability. They were weirdly durable before. More durable because of the fact you could bring them back to life but with exchanging miracle dice or, you know, just use miracle dice to pass saves at clutch moments. But this, I think this is awesome. I like that they have the variety now.
Yeah. I jumped us around Paragon Warsuits and we could talk about more involved. High Lord of Terra. 2+, weapon skill, ballistic skill. Movement of 8. That movement of 8 is just so good. Anyway, you can cover a lot of ground. And then, of course, you throw in some assaults. You want to be getting these folks into combat. So this is going to help you position. I think this is just going to be a stellar like platform for things. Strength and toughness 5. 8 wounds. 5 attacks. Leadership 9. Morvall is equipped with Fidelis, Paragon Missile Launcher, Lance of Illumination, and your army can only include 1 Morvall model, which that is probably obvious, but having an army of Morvalls would definitely be pretty rough. So the Fidelis is 36-inch range, heavy 3, strength 6, neg 1 AP, 2 damage weapon. It's like a super souped-up heavy bolter. Paragon Missile Launcher has 2 profiles, the Sanctorum Missile, 36-inch range, heavy 2d6, basically, you know, like a big frag weapon, strength 4, damage 1, no AP, or the Prioris Missile, heavy 2, strength 8, neg 2 AP, d6 damage.
She's a beast. Wow. Yeah.
Lance of Illumination. Each time an attack is made with this weapon, select one of the profiles below to make that attack with. This is the combat weapon. Strength, the sweeping blow, strength user, neg 2 AP, 1 damage. Make 2 hit rolls instead of 1 each time you make an attack, so 10 attacks, or the lunging strike. Each time an attack is made with this weapon, an unmodified wound roll of 6. The target suffers 1 mortal wound in addition to the normal damage. That's plus 3 strength, neg 3 AP, 3 damage.
So yeah, she's good, but she isn't, I mean, that profile isn't ridiculous right over the top. I think she's plumb just right where she should be. I think she's an amazing model, amazing unit. What's
5 attacks.
Which I'm assuming is going to be ways to buff her up, you know, here and there and everywhere. But
we have her stats, by the way.
Yeah, what is her asking price? How many points?
Points wise,
High Lord of Terra, Rania.
Yeah, let's go to that. So, Morvall is 265 points.
How do we feel about that, guys?
Well, let me read the rest of the stuff, and maybe that may help influence the decision. So, the Paragon Moralibus warsuit, that's, I guess, special thing that she's wearing. The model has a 4+ invulnerable save. Each time this model would lose a wound as a result of a mortal wound on a d6 roll of a 4+, that wound is not lost.
Nice.
Each time an attack is allocated to this model, halve the damage characteristic of that attack, rounding up.
So it's not -1 halved. Oof.
She does not have the -1. That's instead of.
Yeah, she doesn't need it. Yes. Tons better.
Righteous Repugnance. Once per battle, at the end of the fight phase, if this model is within engagement range of any enemy units, it can fight again.
Wow.
High Lord of the Imperium, if your army is battle-forged, this model must be your army's warlord. If more than one model in your army has this rule, then one of those models must be your army's warlord.
Question, is she a Supreme Commander?
Just an HQ choice.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that was one thing I was interested in. Do you have to take her in a Supreme Commander, or you can just take her as a HQ?
Abyss Sanctorum, while a friendly Adeptus Soridia core unit is within 6 inches of this model, each time a model in this unit makes an attack, reroll a hit roll of 1, and a reroll a wound roll of 1.
Very nice.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty beasty, if you ask me. Commander
actually
I'm not done with the stats. Commander of the Adeptus Orientis, in your command phase, select one friendly Adeptus Orientis core unit or character unit within 6 inches of this model. Until the start of your next command phase, each time a model in that unit makes an attack, you can reroll the hit roll and reroll the wound roll. And then she could potentially explode. And then that is all the stats. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant she is a Supreme Commander in the keywords.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I kind of assumed she was, but I didn't know if it would be better or worse if she was. But dude, wow, what a unit. Okay. Yeah, I'm down. I think 250 or 260, whatever you said, I think that is not bad. Not bad for the package.
I like the idea of being able to like really control a bunch of momentum with this character, because get in combat, absolutely stab something to death, consolidate, and then stab somebody else.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you've declared the charge on both, for sure. But yeah, just the ability to attack twice is still such a good ability. You know, we saw that all through 8th edition. It is just power.
And but this is with a weapon that a lot of other units just don't have.
Right. Well, and with that, it's the weapon, it's the mobility, right? The mobility to it to keep it going. And that's, if you don't have that kind of mobility, a lot of times those kind of HQ units can get left behind by the bigger units or some of the more aggressive units. And so this is really good. I think that this is fantastic for this kind of unit.
Another HQ choice is the Palantine. And this came out with a Faith and Fury box, but she has a 4 plus and vulnerable save, and then the ability to, while a friendly order core unit is within 6 inches of this model, each time a model in that unit makes an attack, reroll a wound roll of 1, you know, kind of like lieutenant stuff, but it's not, it's for any attacks, you know, unit makes an attack. It's not specific to close combat. It's also in the shooting, which I think this makes them... I mean, those are super powerful abilities.
I'm interested to know how much core they got or what core units they have. Did they get the Space Marine treatment core-wise, or did they get the, you know, Necron treatment core-wise?
Where everything is core, so...
Yeah.
That's a good question. So the like the Celestine's Squadron core, yep. The Celestine's Sacrosanct, which we can talk about in a couple minutes, are core. Sisters Repentor core.
Ooh, there we go.
Man, that's one that must be nice.
Mm. Yeah. Dominion or core. Seraphim or core. Zephyrim or core.
Retributors.
Retributors, man, what do you think?
Core.
Totally core, yeah.
Yeah, they got the Space Marine treatment, so yeah. If you're infantry, you're likely to be core. The one I was thinking of was whether the Repentia would get it or not, because they're kind of an outlier. They're kind of like, they're not, you know, they're on the fringes of the sisters' houses. What do they call their chapters?
The orders.
What is Martyr Ladies? Yeah, they're on the fringe of the orders. They're on the outside with them. They're not sitting in good stead. So I was wondering if they do get
the order or not. Keyword. The faction.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Interesting.
What's it like to get like everything?
No idea.
The question though is, are the Repentia, I know, have been popular. Like, I've routinely seen 3 units of 10 of those in list and stuff. It's like, do you think that they still can hang in a world where Paragon warsuits exist?
Yes and no. I've seen them change a bit in like form and function over the past couple of months. They did change a lot when Death Guard came out. Like, they stopped going, they went from 10 mans down to what I see predominantly now is somewhere between 5 and 7 mans, because people just realized, hey, they weren't going to go in and kill 3 Death Shroud anyway, so what's the point in taking more than I need to kill 10 intercessors or whatever? Mm-hmm. So people have found the sweet spot there. They're still exceptionally fast in their current iteration. I'm not sure if they've still got advanced and charges and things like that in this new book. But what I do like is they're a nice surgical piece, like essentially a cruise missile. You send them in, you give them the relevant buffs they need to get the job done, and then they explode. And, you know, they die to a stiff breeze. Anyone's stiff breeze, like, you know, Grots will take a pound of flesh out of these guys. But yeah, I still think they've got a very good form and function. They're just not, a bully unit, so to speak. They're not a unit like what I think the Paragon warsuits are going to be, where you stick them in the middle, you make them imposing, you make them a threat that people have to account for and stay away from, rather than the Repentia being the things you sling out to disrupt, you sling out to take away people's obsec or to do some harm.
Yeah, nobody wants to get beat down by eviscerators. I guess the next thing we mentioned is the Sacrosanct. These are the sword and board, weapon and board, the new close combat unit. 10 sister squad come base standard with 2 attacks apiece.
Yeah, and like, there's a question I've had about them. Do they have an invuln? Do they start with an invuln save?
Yeah, the models in the unit have a 4 plus invulnerable save, yep.
Oh, They're good. Oh, that's good. Because they're quite cheap, aren't they? I believe they're 14 points a model. I saw in Chapter Approved.
Let's check it out. They are 14 points a model, and then you can upgrade them with some the pistol weapon for the superior additional 5 points if you want to spend it. But any number of in the models in the unit can have their Hallowed Mace. What the Hallowed Mace is a +2 strength, -1 AP, 2 damage weapon. You can replace it with one Anointed Halberd, which is +3 strength, -3, 1 damage weapon. And then the Superior can replace her mace with the Spear of the Faithful, which is the +3 strength, -3 AP, 2 damage weapon.
And you would. You probably just would, right?
It's just, no extra points, so I mean...
Yeah. These guys are just screaming Blade Guard to me. Like, 2 plus, standing 2 plus, 4 plus, good amount of attacks for 14 points a model. Really, just very good value buy to, in my mind. I think you're going to see these guys. Do they have the bodyguard rule?
They do. Regular, yeah.
Oh my god! They're
while
good
a friendly sanctified character or order character unit is within 3 inches of this unit, enemy models cannot target that character with ranged attacks.
If they are not sold out when they go up for sale immediately, I will be surprised. They look wow. That is such a good 14 points. I can't overstate that.
So Keepers of the Faith is another one of their rules. The unit is eligible to perform heroic intervention as if it were a character. In addition, each time this unit performs a heroic intervention or an enemy unit declares a charge against that unit while the unit is not in engagement range with any of any mini units, the unit can set to defend. If it sets to defend, then until the end of the phase, it cannot fire Overwatch, but until the end of the next fight phase, each time a model in this unit makes a melee attack, add 1 to that attack's hit roll. A lot of special rules here.
Yeah, this was literally what Red said, but wait, there's more. And I'm betting there's right. Just like, you know, Bloody Rose makes them better again and probably some other bits and pieces. Like, you know, a unit like this usually comes with their own bespoke stratagem as well. But, you know, I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I'm jumping the gun, guys.
I bet it's there.
Invalid Shield Wall. Use a stratagem at the start of the fight phase. Select one Celestian Sacrosanct or Crusader's unit from your army. Until the end of the phase, each time an attack is made against that unit, subtract 1 from the attack's wound roll.
I'm sold. get 30.
I don't know that I'd go all in on 30.
Oh, yeah, I probably wouldn't either. But I'm just like, you know, standard hype overreaction by Adam.
Well, I mean, it's 20.
It's in the script, Paul.
20 might be right there.
Look, in all honesty, probably right. I mean, and I don't know, we don't know the context yet. Like, we haven't deep dove in the orders to see what other benefits they can start with. Or maybe there aren't any. Maybe that's just what you get. What you see is what you get with them.
Oh, come on. But there's going to be at least one order that makes it better to, like, punch and stab folks.
That's sure. Right.
It's, which one is it? It's... The strangely corn-looking one. The red one.
The Bloody Rose?
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
I know we're jumping around, and thanks, everybody, for keeping up with us. Order of the Bloody Rose. Quick to anger. Each time a unit with this conviction fights, if it made a charge move, was charged, or performed heroic intervention this turn, then until that fight is resolved, add 1 to the attack's characteristics of models in this unit.
Quick to anger, that's what you want to call it, huh?
Each time a model with this conviction makes a melee attack, if the model's unit makes a charge move, was charged, or performed heroic intervention this turn, improve the armor penetration characteristic of that attack by 1.
Yeah, so it stayed the same. So it's +1 attack and +1 rend on the charge. Yeah. Very, very good still.
Yeah, or when you heroically intervene, which this unit can, the Sacristans can.
How many more noises can I make? I'm just going all James Brown on this.
So,
good God, y'all.
So, tear them down is this order special stratagem. Use this stratagem in the fight phase. When an Order of the Bloody Rose unit from your army is selected to fight until the end of the phase, each time a model in that unit makes a melee attack, an unmodified hit roll of 6 automatically wounds the target.
Nice. That's really nice for getting past the one of the delimitations of Sisters being a strength 3 based army.
Yeah, I don't know that you would need it with the Sacrosanct because their weapons are +3 strength, +2 strength. You know, there's
exactly right. You probably want it on, like, if you take a larger Sister squad and you just got a Sister Superior with a power sword in there, buff them up, give them any attacks as they can. Maybe a priest adds another one. I'm not even sure if that. I am so calling the lead here, but yeah, you know, get to 3 attacks per model on a unit of 10 Sisters. All of a sudden, you know, you get 5 or 6 Sisters on your roll to hit, and you make a big difference on the end result, especially when they're coming in with another rend on the charge.
Yeah, this I think is going to be a really good. Because squad, that stratagem might go better like on Zephyrim or Sephyrim, that only you only have like a plus one strength from their, the Zephyrim squad, plus one strength from their swords. But I mean, yeah, as predicted, there is one that helps you beat things down, and I think that would go really well with the Sacrosanct. I know we're not just like how to make the Sacrosanct good, but I think you're talking about like the missionary. The model knows war hymns, and that still exists. It's an HQ choice.
Fair.
Yup. Let's take a break.
I have one more question, Paul.
Okay.
sorry to take over. I have numerous questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Do retributors still ignore the penalty for moving and shooting with heavy weapons?
I'll tell you.
After this break.
Oh.
I'll tell you right now. You don't have to wait. Nobody has to wait. Storm of Retribution. Each time a model in this unit makes an attack with a heavy weapon, the target does not gain the benefits of cover against that attack. And that's the only special rule.
So this is one of the reasons. So when I read that special rule the first time it came out, and this might be a talking point for after the break, but this is one time when I had to suspend disbelief. So you know when you see those differentiations between fluff and reality in the game? And this is one of those things where the reality divides. Because, I've got a Havoc, yeah? A Chaos Space Marine Havoc. He's a chonky, enhanced, even demon-enhanced guy. I think he's now Toughness 5. It ignores the penalty for moving and shooting. He's only one wound at the moment. Probably going to another wound soon. And we've got a sister, unenhanced, just a regular human in battle armor, Toughness 3, one wound. Ignores the penalty for moving and shooting. And then we have an Eradicator, literally a super, super enhanced Primaris Marine, Toughness 5, 3 wounds, giant Mark 10 Gravis superpower armor, does not ignore the penalty for moving and shooting with that. I'm just like, yeah, these things are not created equal. Never mind. I just find it funny.
All right. Now we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back during the break. The other three of us learned bear safety tips from Tanya.
You know, us crazy Canadians, you got to be on the lookout for wildlife and stuff. But
I mean, it was don't go near them. That was the big takeaway.
It was insightful as hell.
Hey, it was the tips were bears are pretty easy to read. Don't be stupid.
It's fair.
Right? Yeah.
Look, I'll take it. Any advice we can get?
Just to clarify off my rant, retributors don't have that rule now. They don't have the ignore penalty for moving and shooting.
That's right. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I that's fine.
I think that's what
so. This is so funny to me. Here's an Eradicator with a multi-melter, and here is a Retributor with a multi-melter, and the Retributor doesn't take the penalty. And you're like, huh? What? I mean, it's fine. I've got nothing against. I mean, it's good. Let them. Nobody take the penalty if you're in that kind of slot. But yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Let's talk about the blessings of the faithful. This is the HQ or upgrades that you can give to certain sisters' models, and they've got some interesting things to them. If you ask me, you know how like you can upgrade any the characters like in Space Marines to make them chief apothecaries and things like that. So this is blessing of the faithful. There are several of them. But we'll go down the time. Each time you give a model a blessing of the faithful, its power rating is increased, so on and so forth. Named characters cannot be given blessings of the faithful. Each blessing of the faithful has two associated abilities. The first is an ability that the model with the blessing of the faithful gains. The second is a miraculous ability. To use a blessing of the faithful's miraculous ability, you must, in your command phase, first discard one miracle dice. That ability is then activated and lasts until the start of your next command phase. You can only activate it once per battle. They affect things in range, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. It's the a first cool one, system.
Yeah, it's neat. Value of this card of Miracle Dice. This is where it gets interesting. So if you discard a 1, the miracle range is 1 inch. 2 to 5 is 3 inches. 6 is 6 inches.
Love it.
Yeah, kind of cool, right?
Yeah, I love it.
The Word of the Emperor is a 40-point upgrade. First bullet point is, at the start of the fight phase, you can select one enemy unit within 3 inches of this model. The unit is not eligible to fight this phase until after all eligible units from your army have done so. The Miraculous ability is, while an enemy unit is within miracle range of this model, each time a model in a friendly order core or order character unit makes a melee attack against that enemy unit, invulnerable saving throws cannot be made against that attack.
Ooh,
so good.
Very good. Very good.
Wow.
I dig that this specifically affects characters. Not all abilities and special aura abilities affect characters now, unless it specifically said so. This does, I think, is pretty stout. Rapturous Blows is the next one, and is a 25-point upgrade. Add 1 to the strength and damage characteristics of all melee weapons this model is equipped with, excluding relics.
Good, they remember the caveat. But that's another good one.
Miraculous ability, while a friendly order core or order character unit is within miracle range of this model, each time a model in that unit makes a melee attack, on an unmodified wound roll of 6, that attack inflicts 1 mortal wound in addition to the normal damage.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That can add up. Like,
that can really add up.
I mean, look, you're fishing for 6s and it's on the wound roll and not the hit roll, so you'll technically have fewer of them. But these dedicated assault units have tons of attacks.
Well, so this is only on the character, yeah? Or is that you pick a unit and they do it?
So once the character does it, so while this friendly order core or order character unit is within miracle range of the model, each time a model in that unit makes an melee attack, that's when it triggers the ability. And remember, the range for that is determined by the die you discarded from your miracle.
Does Zephyrim still reroll to wound innately? Because then they would be very good for that trait.
I will tell you.
In addition to that, let's say you've just got a knight on 1 wound and you've got a miracle dice that's a 6. And like, oh, well, I guess this wound is a 6 and this problem is solved.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. So, Sky Strike during deployment. Zephyrin don't have the reroll wound innately.
There you go. Interesting, because that would have been in my mind just like, oh well, that's the Zephyrin one. That's the Zephyrin trait, because you could, you know, with Bloody Rose, you can easily get them up to a bucket of attacks each, and then just progging all those 6s to get through a problem unit at a key moment.
They do have the Angelic Visage. That's the one that +1 to their invulnerable save to maximum 4+. That's still there.
Nice.
Yep. That Rapture's Blows, the fact that, look, the burn rate of your miracle dice and how you accumulate, you still accumulate them when you lose a squad or you destroy a squad. So you've got that flow of miracle dice. I think the mechanic works pretty much the same way. But I think getting someone incentivized to potentially chuck some of those out of your pool is a neat mechanic.
Yeah, I like that they're giving you more ways to use it rather than just making yourself automatically more efficient, if that makes sense. This seems like a carrot and the stick approach, because I just saw people just making a dice game not into a dice game with their miracle dice.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes that was good, sometimes that was bad. But this, like, giving you other ways to use them, I think is a really good idea. Like, just give you a huge swathe of ways to activate them and different means of getting viability out of them. I think great idea. Well thought out.
With the miracle dice, and you're right, a dice game. So, but it's on those critical rolls to where some of that tension builds up, and you know, they can swing the balance of a game. And of course, the sisters be like, you know, I think I'm just going to have a 6 right now.
Yeah, and as like miracle dice, or just like any dice, you know, it's still a roll to see whether that miracle dice is relevant. The only difference is you just get to store it for a time when you need that dice roll to go off. But I've been like both bad touched and good touched by miracle dice in the game. Like, I had a game ages ago, I think at the start of 9th edition, where my opponent just needed to get a 5 on an advance to give me a 0 on primary, and that would have just iced the game. And, you know, he started the turn, he rolls his dice, he gets a 6, and I'm like, oh, well, guess I'll just win. And he did. But, you know, that could have easily just been the advance roll anyway. So it's not a huge deal there. But
yeah, I mean, you do roll these. The benefit is that you get to crank it out right when you want to. And then is this miraculous ability, one, you have to pay points to get it in there, but is it enough to really make you want to throw your 6s out? I don't know, but the one we just read, I think, is a pretty stout ability, and there's 4 more abilities to read. The next one is Blinding Radiance. It's a 30-point upgrade. So this is Word of the Emperor is 40 points. This is 30 points, and this is the next, like, most expensive one. Each time a ranged attack is made against this model, subtract one from that attack's wound roll. And then the miraculous ability is, while a friendly order core or order character unit is within miracle range of this model, each time a ranged attack is made against that unit, subtract one from the attack's hit roll. This is good. I'd like to point out that if you pitch a 2 from your miracle pool, that makes the miracle range 3 inches. And this is not limited to a specific, this is while a friendly core or character unit is within miracle range of this model, then they get the minus one. This is, you know, minus one to potentially lots of units.
Man, this is a good element. I was on the fence to see whether this mechanic came good, because it has been very hit and miss. In my opinion, it's been very hit and miss in the Codex. It's like Space Marine one's very good. Necron one is, I've never seen it before. the Death Guard one is quite good. I've seen it. At least I've seen it. Haven't seen, I've never used the Dark Angels one. I have never seen I have seen the Blood Angels one used. But I do think we'll see this. And we have seen the Dark Elder ones get used as well. So maybe
the Death Guard one don't tempt me, like, as far as like armies play. But these do out there. These are starting to tempt me.
We'll keep going, man. Is there any more?
Yes. 3. The Emperor's Grace. This is a 20-point upgrade. At the start of each of your command phases, this model is healed and regains D3 lost wounds. Each model can only be healed once per turn. Miraculous ability. While a friendly order core or order character unit is within miracle range of this model, each time an attack is made against that unit, your opponent cannot reroll the hit roll, cannot reroll the wound roll, and cannot reroll the damage roll.
Oof.
Man, these are really awesome.
Yeah, that's the once per game element, yeah?
What do you mean once per game? Oh, yes. Yeah. 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 I'm sorry.
No, just keep doing it every turn.
Each miraculous ability can only be activated once per battle, and you cannot activate more than one miraculous ability per battle round.
That's good, though. See, I like that you can't do more than one per battle round, because a couple of those you've read out could be stacked in like a key turn to just really swing a game.
I mean, you would have spent like 100 points to do it, but I mean, worth it.
Yeah, well, you know, it could be a game-winning combination. There's two more, yeah?
Yeah, Righteous Judgment. This is a 25-point ability. Each time you select a target for this model's ranged weapons, you can ignore the Lookout Sir rule. Each time this model makes a ranged attack, an unmodified wound roll of 6 inflicts one mortal wound on the target in addition to any normal damage. The Miraculous ability, while a friendly order core or order character model is within miracle range of this model, each time that model makes a ranged attack, the target does not receive the benefits of cover against that attack.
Mm.
That was the least exciting one so far to me, and it's still not bad.
Still not bad.
Mm. Now, these are... So, this... I'll get through the other two, then we can kind of have the debate of at what point are you investing too much into a character?
Fair. Very fair.
I mean, when they only take one damage, no matter what, they can just crush things. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Red, you're making a solid argument. Though. Save that. Let me get this other one out. the next one is Divine Deliverance. This is a 15-point upgrade. This is the least expensive of the upgrades. At the start of your opponent's command phase, select one enemy unit within 6 inches of this model and select one aura ability that unit has. Roll 3d6. If the result is equal to or greater than the enemy unit's leadership characteristic, then until the start of your opponent's next command phase, that enemy unit loses that aura ability. Miraculous ability, while a friendly order core or character model is within miracle range of this model, each time that model makes a ranged attack, if that attack causes an enemy model to be destroyed until the end of the turn, subtract one from the enemy unit's leadership characteristic. A unit's leadership characteristic cannot be reduced by more than 3 as a result of this miraculous ability.
Less exciting.
You know, when you can do the miracle ability only once, and if you happen to have 15 points odd in your list and need to fill a hole.
Well, the first part's good enough. The denying of auras and things is worth 15 points. That,
you got to be within six. You got to be super close.
I mean, people take Reaver lieutenants in their lists for the opportunity to run around and, you know, deny OPSEC auras and things, and deny OPSEC. Surely a case can be made for 15 points opportunistically. But I suppose you can't really give them like a jump pack. You can't really sling them around as quickly. You can make them fast with using miracle dice and stuff for the auto advances. But yeah, fair enough. Maybe this is the weakest.
Well, being able to get something an additional -3 to their leadership, is that useful? Yes, but is it useful every game? I don't know that it is. And everything else, I think I've seen has been useful every game. You're going to use it if you have it.
Yeah. But seriously, of those you read out, I was like, good. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good too. Oh, hey. Wow, that's good. Oh, cool.
Did you know that's pretty good? So let's talk about, the HQ units, the Canonus is a 50-point model. So by the time you put Word of the Emperor or, Blinding Radiance on there, you've almost doubled the points of the character.
Yes. Yeah, you do. And you have, so the question was, how far do you go with these characters, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, do you do that?
In the case of most of these, probably. Like, probably I would.
It's like, a trick question. The answer is yes.
There are two of the ones you read out, I'm like, I'm probably going to see that every time I verse sisters. Or most times I verse sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
So, but what is people's philosophies on character creation? Like, Red, Tanya, when you guys create a character, what's your philosophy about him?
I mean, I think it goes to we go back to our form and function kind of deal, right? Like, what is the function? What do they serve? You know, Necrons outside of Satan, which is funny because now you've got people who are just straight up removing invulns. I guess the Necrons, and rightfully so, there just aren't that many, like, straight up monster characters that you kind of see a lot of the Imperium bring to bear. And that's not an issue. I don't think that's a major problem. It's just when it comes to some of this character creation, take like World Eaters. I mean, you can actually make a, currently as it stands, you can make a Terminator Chaos Lord into a Berserker who can attack twice, because you can essentially make him a Red Butcher. And so, like, how am I getting that there? How am I getting a Terminator into a fight, though? And so the sisters, I think, have a lot of great stuff going on for them. And I mean, and I know we've been going back and forth with a lot of the competitive business, but there's also in that codex, they've got, if I'm not mistaken from what I saw in one of the Warcom articles, like the ability to make your character into a saint, which sounds really amazing. And so when it comes to some of this character creation stuff, I think giving sisters the ability to make a saint like character, not just Saint Celestine, is pretty amazing. And I'm not just talking about the narrative stuff, but
yeah,
really
some
to
the
have all
stuff. What you're talking about is, at least I think, is giving some personality, some stuff that could be in a book, you know, things that people tell tales about or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of competitive focus here as well. But at the same time, I think giving the players the ability to add all of this flavor to such varying degrees, you know, so like Dark Eldar did not get necessarily the same degree of flavor in the same regard as much as they got the ability to upgrade the three different types of leaders for their, you know, the sub factions within Dark Eldar, which is, I'm not complaining. It's just pointing out a difference to it. I think that it's very interesting what the game designers have done in giving the players, you know, we've talked about, I think earlier pre-show, we talked a little bit about agency, and I think that there is a lot of agency. It's just, are you willing to explore it at the risk of maybe it not playing out that well in some scenes versus others?
For me, I don't have a lot of experience, right? I play basically one faction, and everything in my faction is expendable, right? So they don't, like, and especially like the characters, like they don't generally do a lot of damage. They're not generally really great at anything, and they're really just sort of used to scoot things around the board or like take objectives and that. So the idea of like having all these options to create a character to fulfill whatever role on the table I needed to fulfill, that's really interesting. I don't even know how I would approach that because I've never really gotten to experience it before.
Totally fair. I guess my philosophy is pretty close to Red. I think I'll echo most of what he said. And pretty much I learned this from coming from Guard, which is where Tanya is, and she loves to exist. But it's a concept. It's a concept I call fit for purpose. I feel like this fits characters a lot more than it does units, because especially with units the way they are now, you can have a unit like an Intercessor that punches good, shoots good, is durable, etc. It's not fit for one purpose, but you do have stuff like Repentia are a fit for purpose thing, you know? It's fit to do one thing. And a lot of Guard, exactly what Tanya said, Guard units, Guard HQs, fit for purpose. I am not paying 30 points to do anything to a company commander.
Nope.
Like, that guy is there, he's going to give out two orders, force multiply, if he explodes, 35 points, I'm not getting attached. Whereas, you know, stuff like a Catacomb Command Barge, its fit for purpose is to give out my will be done, have a decent shooting gun, and punch in and slap something in combat. So you need to make it fit for those purposes. I suppose that's where you come down to things in this customization you can give to your HQs. What is its purpose? Why does it exist? And at 50 points, am I diluting or taking away more than I'm giving when I'm adding on things like a 40-point investment to a 50-point model? Am I going to want to try and do something with this that is not fit to do? I suppose a good example would be, you guys remember the Castellan list, yeah? You had a Castellan warlord, essentially, in a list with guardsmen and blood angels.
I'm nodding my head like people could see it, but yes.
Yeah, the guardsmen were there as the force multiplication. They were there to be the enablers of the other units. You had the blood angels in there to be problem solvers, as in, like I said, for the Repentia Karna, the cruise missile, go out and destroy the things that are going to cause you problems. And the Castellan was a character, so we can talk about it in this sense, was your jack of all trades, can do a bit of everything. It self-buffed with use of the House Raven strat, etc. It's problem solved, and it, you know, it stomped in combat, it shot, etc. It did kind of everything, and in and of itself was very durable because it had a 3-up invuln for God knows why. But you know, that's a good breakdown of what you want to think about with stuffs like what the Sisters got. And I do like what the Sisters got ones got, because it's not locked to just Chronomancers, Technomancers, Plasmancers, those stuff. It's locked to your mainstay HQ, which you're probably going to take anyway. Like the Captain's buffs for, you know, Blood Angels, you know, it's a unit you're probably going to look to take anyway. And so it makes more sense to look into ways of making them either more fit to their purpose, like do what you wanted to take them for anyway and double down on that, e.g. the Force Multiplier one, taking it to give an extra aura. You know, why wouldn't you? Or if it's a Beat Stick, taking it to do the mortals. Or if it's a Fridge, to run up and be not so much a problem solver, but to be durable on the front lines and supporting, you know, take the reduced damage one. So it's just look what their purpose is and look to make them do what you want them to do better.
I like that. Yeah, I think building up this, you want to build for those situations, and it didn't seem too terribly difficult to manufacture those situations. And so I think I can agree with everybody in saying that these are probably worth it. And even though you're doubling down on a single investment choice, I think the benefits greatly outweigh the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Just you wait, Tanya. Just you wait. Guard Codex, you're going to be making all kinds of unique characters. They're going to be moving all sorts of stuff around.
Be still my beating heart. I can't wait.
I hope so. I can't wait.
So that's one of the new elements added in this book. They've also essentially gotten litanies added, haven't they?
So there's a couple things. The Shield of Faith still works, you know, like the same way 6+ and vulnerable save can deny the witch on that. But then they have Sacred Rites, which you pick which one, or you can roll for two that you want to be active for your army. And there are six things here. One of them being, while the Sacred Rite is active, this is number one, Hand of the Emperor. While the Sacred Rite is active, add one to the advantage rolls and charge rolls made for this unit. The second one is Spirit of the Martyr. While the Sacred Rite is active, each time a model in this unit is destroyed by a melee attack and does not explode, roll a d6. On a 6, after the attacking model's unit has finished making its attacks, it suffers one mortal wound. A unit can suffer a maximum of 6 mortal wounds per phase as a result of this ability. That's not too bad. Aegis of the Emperor, while the Sacred Rite is active, each time the unit uses its Shield of Faith ability to take a Deny the Witch test, if the result of this test was an unmodified result of a 5+, or it was greater than the result of the Psychic test, the Deny the Witch test is passed. I don't mind that.
Yes, so far they're all pretty good.
Yep. The Sacred Rite is Divine Guidance, while the Sacred Rite is active, each time a model in this unit makes a ranged attack on an unmodified wound roll of a 6+, the armor penetration characteristic of that attack is improved by 1.
Oh, yeah.
Number 5, the Passion. While the Sacred Rite is active, each time a model in this unit makes a melee attack, an unmodified hit roll of 6 scores 1 additional hit. And then Light of the Emperor, while the Sacred Rite is active, you can ignore any or all modifiers to this unit's leadership characteristic. And each time a combat attrition test is taken for this unit, you can ignore any and all modifiers.
So this is the mono faction bonus, yeah?
Sacred Rites is a... On a lot of data slates, you'll see they have Acts of Faith, Sacred Rites, and Shield of Faith. So this is a bonus ability for your stuff.
Yeah, this sounds like it's pretty much the same as it was in the current Codex. If you take a Mono Sisters army, you get access to this one. And I believe you get to pick before the start of the battle as well, which I thought always added a really nice element of strength and flexibility.
You do. And there's also a relic now, the Blessing of Sebastian Thor. Before you determine which Sacred Rites are active for your army, select 2 Sacred Rites. Until the end of the battle, these Sacred Rites are active for the Bear's unit instead of those that are active for the rest of your army.
Ah, for the Bear's unit. Cool. I was about to say, all right, so there's an auto take.
Well, so you could, if you had one, you know, if you chose a rite that was great for most of your army, but yet you wanted to pack in that this unit gets the deny on a 5+, you know, you could take this relic to...
Yeah, it's slick. It's still pretty good.
To manipulate that. Again, I like little things like that to give flexibility in your army and dual purpose. You know, I don't want to say you're not really diversifying. You're adding in things, but I think it's a bit kind of balanced because it's specific to one unit. And if an opponent wanted to remove that unit, you know, they could choose to do so. Mm. And to go to your other question, yes, they get the Hymns of Battle, like a whole litany.
Yeah, those have been pretty exciting. We probably don't have time to deep dive them now, though, do we?
Well, we can do that and then wrap up for this show.
Fabulous.
All Adeptus Ministerum priests know a war hymn. See below. In addition, before the battle, generate the additional hymns, if any, for priest models in your army. So the first one is War Hymn. If this hymn is inspiring, select one friendly Adeptus Ministerium core, Adeptus Ministerium character, or Engine of Redemption unit within 6 of the priest. Until the start of your next command phase, add 1 to the attacker characteristics of models in that unit. Next one, or now we get into the actual, like the chart that you could choose.
Mm-hmm.
Refrain of Blazing Piety. If this hymn is inspiring, select one enemy unit within 12 inches of the invisible to the priest model. That unit suffers D3 mortal wounds. If that unit has the chaos keyword, it instead suffers 3 mortal wounds.
So it's just a smite, and it's a super smite. Yeah, it's a solid smite against chaos. That's nice.
Yes. Chorus of Spiritual Fortitude. If this hymn is inspiring, select one friendly Adeptus Ministerum core, Ministerum character, or Engine of Redemption within 6 inches of the priest. If that unit or its models are being affected by any psychic powers manifested by enemy models, the effects of those psychic powers on that unit and its models end. The next bullet point, until the start of your next command phase, the unit and the models in it contains are not affected by any psychic power manifested by enemy units.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Like, that is so many things when you translate it to the real-life applications. Oh, so you've got Sanctuary on? Well, this thing is a -1 inborn power. You've got Fortune or Doom. Ignoring those things. Can it only be targeted on enemy unit, or can you use it to get rid of debuffs?
This is on your debuffs on yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah, if you're being affected by psychic power manifested by enemy models, then you end those effects, and then you cannot have any more effects placed on you until the start of your next command phase.
Like, you know, we've got all the psychic powerhouse factions are due to come out. We still have Grey Knights, T-Sons, and the Eldar psychic factions, and Tyranids as well. All those usually have 2 or 3 debuffs in their trees. This thing could just get, like, super powerful soon.
I really like when factions that have a phase that they can't normally interact with are given like little options to interact with it in some way, right? Like Poor Tau. They don't have many ways to like interact in a bunch of different phases. Mm-hmm. And Sisters didn't really have psychers, right? Like, I guess you could take Inquisitors or whatever, but like in their faction, they didn't really have psychers. So I really like this as giving them a little bit of option if they do want to interact with that phase in some way.
Yeah, taking it beyond just that kind of 1d6 try to deny. Maybe somebody gets lucky. And yeah, this is, I think, deceptively powerful. And it has the potential to only get more and more powerful, just like y'all said.
Agreed.
You know, Tanya, you say Poor Tau, but in the before, There's I think there's a little bit of, I think we're a little short on change for pity for Tao. Don't get me wrong. I really like some of the stuff that came out in the FAQ, but you're right. I mean, as far as lack of interaction in different phases, that's a real issue. And nobody likes playing a game that they aren't actually playing. And so that's a struggle. But yeah, I'll give it to you.
Tao had
it going on before.
But, is this the only thing that makes you like completely immune to things? I mean, I know you can be fearless, you know, and not take leadership checks and that kind of stuff. But are there other abilities out there I'm just not remembering that make you immune to psychic powers?
Calexis, I think this is a silence. But yeah, apart from those, this is essentially just giving you all the benefits of a Calexis. Well, it's not debuffing other people's psychic powers, casting on other things. But yeah, this is good, man. This is quite good. Very nice tool in the toolbox.
Clarify my question. Are there any things that people actually take nowadays that are...
you savage.
Psalm of Righteous Smiting is the next one. If the hymn is inspiring, add 1 to this priest model's strength and attack characteristic. Improve the armor penetration characteristics of weapons with this priest is equipped with by 1, excluding relics. At the end of the fight phase, if this priest model is in engagement range of any enemy units, it can fight 1 additional time.
Whoa.
I guess.
I'm really hoping there's some kind of like word bearers or something that like targets priest models.
That would be really fluffy. That would be super fluffy, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Destroy the false, you know, preacher or whatever. That's
your
cool.
Gods can't hear you or something like that. Yeah, that'd be tight.
Next one is Litany of Enduring Faith. If this hymn is inspiring, select 1 core character, only Adeptus Auritas core character, within 6 inches of the priest model. The invulnerable saves models in that unit receive the Shield of Faith ability is improved by 1 to a maximum of 4+.
Nice.
Verse of Holy Piety. This is for core and characters. Select 1 sacred rite that is not active for your army. The sacred rite is active for that unit. In addition to any others that are active for that for your army.
In addition is cute. Is very nice. That's pretty cute. I like it.
Yeah, in case you want to do that 5+ thing. I don't know. Again, there are others you could probably do as well. But I think working in that without having it to be the one that blankets your entire army, I think is going to be desirable.
You think that's the best flex one?
I think it is. It? Yeah, because you could find yourself just like totally out brain gunned, I think, for the reasons y'all mentioned earlier.
Out brain gunned. Nice.
Well, you want to be just sitting there and just soaking up smites. Catechism of Repugnance. If this hymn is inspiring, select 1 Adeptus Auritas core or character unit within 6 inches of the priest. Each time a model in that unit makes a ranged attack with a bolt weapon, an unmodified hit roll of 6 automatically wounds the target. If that attack targets a unit within half range, the armor penetration characteristic of that attack is improved by 1.
That's a mainstay. You'll probably just see it game in, game out. It's very nice. Just flat buff to the bolters you already had to take.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Man, and we've barely scratched the surface of this book. People have to tune in next week so we can tell you what the fortification does, the battle sanctum does. I mean, I'm not joking. We will tell you what happens, but there is a ton more in this book. I mean, there's the warlord traits. We got to go with the orders, how you mix and match everything. We have only teased, 2 stratagems?
Oh, yeah, the stratagems.
And we haven't given enough, I don't think, importance on some of these secondaries that are in the codex as well. I mean, it gives you some advantages on the tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. Super jealous of all everybody's new codexes. Just like sitting here going like, man, there's like no bad stuff so far.
So this is what, 2 in 3 weeks? 2 in 4 weeks? So, you know, hopefully G-Dub's picking up the pace. It's crazy to think that they, we saw this with what they announced with the chapter approved stuff, but they thought Grey Knights and T-Suns would have been out by now as well. So there's at a minimum, we were 4 codexes behind on where we should be, you know, barring COVID. And there's probably many more than that. But yeah, be worth the wait. This stuff is amazing.
Yeah, so the existing stuff's in here. Of course, the new stuff's in here. Ephrel Stern and the Harlequin unit that came out separately is in here.
There's quite a few special characters for Sisters now, isn't there?
Yeah, that Banner Bearer that we talked about is in here. I mean, there's going to be lots of different ways to play this codex, which is cool.
I mean, it's not quite Space Wolves level, but they're up there.
of number of characters. Yeah.
That's what we call a callback, people. That's months in the making.
Well, we'll go ahead and stop here for now. But yeah, tune in next week. Like, share, subscribe if you haven't already. Leave us 5-star reviews. Those are the ways that if you interact with the show that way, then other people may find us and want to listen to. And we absolutely appreciate it. Red, Tanya, Adam.
Yep. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, glad to have y'all back. I'll see y'all back
glad
next
to
week.
Be back.
Yeah, beautiful. I missed you guys.
Missed you guys too.
Aww.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
I don't know what they said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.